they answered the call. Ordinary soldiers. Who forged extraordinary bonds. American, British, and Russian soldiers in the war that changed the world. These are their stories. Call of Duty, Finest Hour. Let's start as the game begins on the Eastern Front. In the Russian campaign, you will play as Rifleman Alexander Sokov, a sniper named Tanya Pavlona, and a tank commander, Major Nikolai Banadova. Let's start with Alexander's story.
My name is Alexander Sokolov. I thought I was safe. As a watchmaker's apprentice, I would learn the business, then open a shop of my own. Maybe get married, have children, start a life. But now our cities are under attack, and Stalingrad will put an end to those dreams. We should have known the Germans would turn on us, break the treaty. They have no honor. The commissars rounded us up so quickly, speaking of the motherland, the sacrifice of our brothers, our duty. I'm only 20, but I'm ready to fight to the death. The sight of my home Stalingrad infuriates me. It is as if hell itself were burning.
The game opens with Alexander on a boat crossing the Volga River. Once you are across the river, you are told the first in line gets a rifle. The second gets ammunition. When the first is killed, the second picks up the rifle and shoots. No matter how you get in line, you will always end up with the ammo and no rifle. After exiting the docks, Sergeant Oleg Puskov calls out to you to follow him up the hill and into Stalingrad. You have to fight your way, well, I say fight, but you have no gun, you just have ammo. You have to make your way up the hill and into a factory. Once you make it to the factory, you finally get your rifle. Ignoring the commissar's orders and listening to Sergeant Oleg, you take the factory and begin repelling the German attack from pillboxes that are spotting for artillery. You and Sergeant Oleg set up a machine gun to help suppress the German counterattack, but Sergeant Oleg spots a sniper and he gets JFK'd to make sure that you don't die. You're then introduced to sniper Tanya Pavlona, who takes out the sniper who killed Sergeant Oleg. She tells you that she will cover you while you take out the pillboxes and raise the Russian flag over the city. Tanya sees potential in Alexander and recruits him to be her spotter.
My name is Tanya Pavlovna. We had little idea the Nazi invasion had pushed as far as our village until the night we awoke to the sound of tank tracks grinding in the distance. Tank shells sent my neighbor scurrying for cover. And in the chaos, I was separated from my parents. The next day, I was rescued by soldiers with the Red Army. I was 25. During my first skirmish, our squad was cut down, and I escaped into a collapsed building, where I took a sniper rifle off the body of a fallen comrade. My father's voice guided my aim as I cut down my first four Germans with that rifle. My skill was reported to HQ, and I was assigned as a sniper and sent to Stalingrad. I've been hunting Germans ever since. They took my family and my home, and I intend to take their lives.
Tanya and Alexander make their way through the sewers of Stalingrad after harassing German tank crews with their sniper rifle. As they make their way through the sewers, they encounter large resistance as it was one of the safest ways to get through Stalingrad without being shelled. They end up at an old tractor factory where T-34s are being built during the harsh conditions and the intense fighting. Tanya successfully helps to prevent a German counterattack and the last T-34 to finish being built so we can roll out and join into the fight. At that point, you catch a ride with the commander, Major Nikolai Badenov.
My name is Nikolai Badenov. The day after the Germans attacked the Soviet Union, I left my wife and newborn son in the care of my parents and joined the Red Army. Having been a mechanic in Leningrad for years, it was no surprise I was assigned to the 24th Tank Corps. I live for the day we grind Berlin beneath our tracks. Perhaps it's this aggressiveness that won me my own tank crew and assignment in Stalingrad. While my crew and I are like family, there's another comrade who I'll be tied to forever. Her name is Tanya Pavlovna, and she saved our skins as we escaped in the last surviving T-34 after an assault on an old factory near Volgograd. But our tank soon had engine trouble, and the smoke plume was giving away our position. So we found what looked to be a safe place to make repairs.
Nikolai Badenov and his crew go through the city of Stalingrad to deliver a radio so that spotters can accurately start calling in artillery. This is one of the most difficult games in the mission because your T-34, it just takes damage and there's no way you can repair it or heal it. There's a time cut to where you and your tank crew take place in what is known as Operation Little Saturn. Operation Little Saturn is outside of the Stalingrad area and it's at a snow level, where you take charge in destroying the German headquarters for air traffic control. This portion of the game concludes the Russian campaign. We'll now move into North Africa with the British campaign.
My wife finally wrote saying, Edward Carlyle just asked to do something else. So I did. It turns out having a background in teaching chemistry can get you out of a desk job pretty quick if you have a mind to it. I knew nothing of Popsky's private army or its ties to the Desert Rats until I was in training. This sabotage platoon's philosophy is lightning-fast strikes and massive explosions deep behind enemy lines. It's gratifying to know that every time we light up a fuel depot or munitions dump, we're stalling Rommel's tanks and helping those poor blighters on the front lines. It may not be fighting fair, but the Germans have hardly fought fair in Europe, so to hell with them. My assignments are highly confidential, so as far as the wife knows, I'm still sitting at a desk. But for some strange reason, I've stopped complaining.
The British campaign follows Edward Carlyle. Carlyle embarks on a night raid in Mamata with an SAS team led by Sergeant Starkey to storm a German fortress and destroy a fuel depot. After the Mamata raid, Starkey and Carlyle evacuate in a jeep. Starkey drives through heavy infested German roads while you use a 50 cal machine gun to keep you alive. Eventually, Carlyle and Starkey make it to a besieged British fort where they rescue Sergeant Dehart and a cartographer and ultimately neutralize the German presence in the fort. There's a little fun fact here for you. There's a Bren LMG in this level that has more ammo than you can normally carry in it. This concludes the British campaign. And now we're on to the American campaign in the Western Front.
My name is Chuck Walker. I've been attached to the First Army, the Big Red One, for a long time now. I fought in North Africa and Sicily. I landed in Normandy on D-Day. Every day I fight to save my life and the lives of my men. I'm proud we're on the front lines. I know none of us are going home until the Germans surrender completely, and we want to be right there when it happens. That's why Aachen is so important. It's time to take this fight right to Germany, where it began. This isn't about medals or honor. Those things don't matter when you're fighting for your life. This is about winning the war. And fighting with the Big Red One has taught me you win a war by surviving it. And that means killing the Germans before they kill me.
The The American campaign starts with Sergeant Chuck Walker. The first 3 minutes concentrate on the capture of Aachen. With Chuck protecting a tank column along the way, this is one of the worst parts of the game, if I'm honest. You are defending an M2 priest from anti-tank weapons. You have no way to repair the tank or do anything about it. Not only do you have to protect this tank so it can destroy strategic targets through the city of Aachen, you also have to make your way through the German sewers to fight off tank crews that are popping up from manholes along the streets. Once you have taken the German city of Aachen, the story shifts to focus on a group of M4 Sherman tanks commanded by a man named Sam Rivers, a young African-American who fends off the Germans around the town of Tillett.
My name is Sam Rivers. The day after the attack on Pearl Harbor, me and my best friend Jim rushed to enlist in the U.S. Army. Most of our buddies from the neighborhood in Chicago did the same. I was only 18. I barely had enough time to say my goodbyes, get packed, and marry my sweetheart Maggie 3 hours before we shipped out for basic training. I was assigned to the 761st Tank Battalion, which was almost entirely made up of colored folk, except for the officers. We were not particularly welcome at Camp Hood, but this just drove us to build an unstoppable team and earn the respect of everyone we met. General Patton himself saw us in action and insisted we be attached to his Third Army and sent to Europe. Today we're near the town of Tillett. Every other American unit assigned to take this town has tried and failed. Now it's our turn. We're all fighting for something more than just defeating the enemy. Every man in the 761st has something to prove to himself and to the folks back home. For us, victory has a double meaning.
This tank level versus the Russian one is much easier because the tank can now repair itself. After that, the newly promoted Lieutenant Walker infiltrates the city of Remagen. Your goal in the city of Remagen is to scout out the Ludendorff Bridge. You're later joined by Sam Rivers and his tank squad to move up to the bridge. Upon reaching the bridge, there's a huge hole in the ground that prevents the tanks from moving on. So you and your squad alone must push forward across the bridge to take it. You defeat the enemy across the bridge, take out their anti-air defenses, and reclaim it for the Americans so that they can push into Germany. Now that we've been through the base story, I'd like to get my thoughts on this, because I'm sure as many of you, at one time you were a big Call of Duty fan. And I've been on this little nostalgic kick playing it for a while. This isn't the first Call of Duty that I ever played, but it's one I've spent a hell of a time playing. I've beat it on hard and every other difficulty in between on the PS2 when I was younger. I even had to show my history teacher in class one day how to get through the first level because it is so freaking hard. I had no idea about Brian Johnson being in the game, or that the Russian level was entirely ripped from the film Enemy at the Gates, to the point of taking Tanya's name from it. One of the several interesting things about this game, as you play through it, you can watch the quality of life improvements as the game goes on. The best example I can do is the two tank levels. In the Russian one, your T-34 is made of wet toilet paper with no, you know, regenerating health or way to fix it. In the American level, your Sherman will regain health if you sit still for a little while. So, either the devs are aware that the T-34 is a massive piece of shit, or it was from playtesting. For more on how the T-34 is a massive piece of shit, check out LaserPig on YouTube. He's got a great video on it. There are also guns that are hidden throughout the game. I mentioned the Bren earlier. But there's also a lot of others you can find that are either way too overpowered or they have triple the ammo that you can normally carry. Overall, if you have an old 360 that's capable of playing original Xbox games or a PS2 kicking around, I would recommend this because it's interesting to go back and play this, especially with the control scheme. It's so different. Like the fact that, well, there's no good way to melee when you're trying to You have to crab claw the controller to try to use the gun on the tank's turret while you're operating it. There's the fact that your turreted guns don't overheat. They haven't figured that out yet. When you beat this game, you're given cheat codes, which is really cool because normally those are just called paid DLC nowadays. And instead of the art book being locked away to a collector's edition, there's just a full animation reel, which they did a lot of time and work putting together. I sincerely hope that you've enjoyed this little nostalgia trip with me. It's been a lot of fun to do. This has been a little challenging and something to write different, especially for our normal Game Club pod reviews. And, you know, I know this isn't the cathartic fun that's two blokes from Blighty, but maybe you've learned a little something and maybe you had some fun. If you have any questions on this game or, you know, if there's something I missed that you want to talk about, we do have a Discord. You can join there and just at me and say, "Hey, Slade, you forgot to talk about this," or, "Oh man, I remember this Call of Duty, but nobody talks about it." If you do like this series, maybe let us know, and maybe there'll be another one. But while they're away from Two Blokes from Blighty, you'll be getting this. And I could tell you that next Wednesday, I will be talking about Call of Duty 2 Big Red 1. Should be really interesting. Thank you all again for listening. My name's been Slade. You can find me at Slade Plays Games on just about everything, except Instagram. That's Slade's life.